obviously we're in very difficult times. It's a great tragedy. And it's very complicated. So complicated that it's hard to really sort of winnow the sheep, the chaff out of the wheat and see what's really going on. Church, but in the land of Russia. So, what are the love metropolitan suggested is quite profound. He says, "Dear in the Lord, brothers and sisters, on the threshold of great Lent, the salvific time of augmented prayer and self-correction, and in connection with events unfolding in the Ukraine land, I turn to all with a heartfelt plea. Refrain from excesses in watching television, following newspapers, and the internet. Let us close the doors of our hearts to the passions ignited by mass media, and let us augment our fervent prayers for peace throughout the world, for overcoming enmity and discord, for help for the suffering, for the peaceful repose of those who have departed into life eternal, and the consolation of their friends and relatives, so that we all first and foremost remain humane and Orthodox Christians in these difficult times. The approaching Great Lent is the journey to Christ's Pascha, to his resurrection. This path leads us from a state of idleness and impatience and vanity and constant anxiety to spiritual peace, to integrity, humility, and love. These holy traits do not arise within us without effort, but through adhering to the other world in our churches, the world of light and of joy and of hope and of kindness and of forgiveness. Without participating in the divine services of Great Lent, which create a special atmosphere in our homes, in our lives, attaining such a spiritual state is very difficult. It may be even impossible. Striving toward God, establishing peace within our hearts, and participating in the sacramental life of the Church of Christ, wherein lies our personal relationship with God, really we reduce the level of evil in this world. We inspire others toward spiritual labors and feats of the gospel. We enhance peace and brotherly relations, and we do not succumb to the temptations of discord and division. Therefore, I urge everyone to take advantage of every opportunity offered by the Church to preserve peace and goodness in our hearts, to spend this grace-filled time unto our salvation, so that we can all together meet and spend the radiant Paschal night in unity of spirit and brotherly love, in the renewal of our strengths, in the spiritual joy, in the resurrected Christ, and the victory of good over evil. Amen. Alarion Metropolitan East America and New York. So, how does one follow an epistle like our Metropolitans with a little consideration of judgment. And I'm going to try to make it brief. So today is Judgment Sunday. And basically, we all need to contemplate the fact that we are not just worldly beings, just flesh and blood, but we are spiritual beings. And that our life in this world, in our flesh, in our physical presence, is really a foreshadowing and a beginning to eternal life. And if you listen to the gospel today, it's pretty amazing. It begins, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit upon the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, 'Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me.' Then the righteous will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and took you in, or asked, or naked and clothed you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?' And the king will answer and say to them, 'Truly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me.' Then you will all say to those on the left hand, 'Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick, and in prison, and you did not visit me.' Then they will also answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you?' Then you will answer them, saying, 'Truly I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did it not to me.' And there these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." So this teaching on judgment is really truly amazing and very, very straightforward and basic. And my first comment is the word judgment, to judge. Because the fact of the matter is we live in a world where criticism is seen as judgment, and people respond, "Don't you dare judge me. Do not judge me." And basically what really is behind the "do not judge me" is that we participate in this, and we live in a world where there is no fear of God. There's no fear of God at all. And the whole concept of judgment is seen as a personal insult because why? Because the mindset of our society is we do what we want to do and you'd better like it or leave. Isn't that true? People do, and it's always in your face. I'm going to do what I want. What I think is right for me. What you think is right for you. What I think is true for me is what you think is true for you. That's your truth. This is my truth. And so, really, immediately when you hear this this term judgment, and this is considering judgment, we're confronted with this. The other thing that's really fascinating is you might think it's a little bit too harsh or maybe a little radical, but I think that the evil one, the devil, has very carefully created institutions to, as it were, separate us from those in need. You know, our parents are older and they're weak, and so we put them in, you know, little institutions and tell them what a nice place it is, and they grow older, and we don't have time to visit them, perhaps. Or, of course, people are, you know, have sicknesses, and so they, you know, they have special little places that our society has developed. And really, you know, hunger is being met by, you know, different institutions and organizations, and clothing banks exist. And what it does is it separates us as people from the needy. And it's a very clever device because, according to our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ, we are going to be judged by what we do for others. And here, our society is very, I think, very, very worldly minded, separated from all these inconveniences and deprived us of opportunity, as it were, to fulfill the gospel of feeding the hungry and getting drink to the thirsty and taking the strangers in and clothing the naked and visiting the sick and those who are in prison. And what's so amazing about this gospel on judgment, he is saying when we do not do these things, then we have sinned, as it were, against him. When we do them, we're doing them for our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. This is an amazing thing. So the question really is how do we solve this problem? And obviously, we certainly begin in our own families and caring for our loved ones. And then those whom we may encounter. And we can certainly give alms and help and so on for the care of others. But it's what's so amazing about this is even these alms and care, it's not the same thing as actually bringing the person into your house and feeding him or going to his house and offering him. It's not the same thing. Certainly, it's a good thing, but it's not the same thing. Or visiting the sick, or visiting the imprisoned. It's not the same thing. So we have this profound difficulty, and I'm not sure it can be solved, really, in the world. I think what our Holy Metropolitan said is this: we must dedicate ourselves to the life of the church. The church is the body of Christ. And so we dedicate ourselves to the life of the church. And the church is not just simply here in this building or when we're gathered together. Certainly that is of the essence of the church, but that's not the whole of it. The whole of it is in our lives. So what we receive here, the mystery of unity with our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ, and sanctification through his body and blood, that we bring this home. And if we don't, can't seem to find ready to hand to us those whom we can serve, we pray. And what we really need is we need a profound, deep ministry of prayer. And so we keep our prayers at home and we pray. And then we ask God for opportunity to reveal his love to others in kindness, in generosity, in sympathy, and perhaps visiting the sick whom we know about. But the first thing that we must do is pray. And the reason for this is that we talk a lot in the church here about the kingdom of God, and I always translate it as the kingly power of God. And the very essence of what we can actually give that makes us make sense to others, everything has to be filled with the power, the kingly power of God's love and His mercy and His kindness. We can't just be empty, distracted and detached way be kind. We have to have something to give. So even if we give something through visiting, or we give something through alms and so on, it has to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. The presence of the kingdom of God has to be in this gift that we give, in this kindness. And so the way we do that is we pray. We participate in church, we confess our sins, we partake of the holy mysteries, we have our fellowship, and we pray. We bring all of this home in prayer and in fasting and in almsgiving and in love. And we pray to God that He will give us opportunity. But the fact is that if we do these things, then the kingdom of God will, in a mysterious way, be established in our midst. And that light, just like the light of the sun, you know, it doesn't just shine on us. It shines on everything around us. And that light will shine on others. And I always have thought and believed that we're the altar. The altar is like a well. And then when we celebrate the mysteries on the well, living water comes up. And I was blessed to go to desert places in the Middle East, driving from Eilat or I don't know where, we're going to Mount Sinai. It was absolutely sand dunes. It was plain sand dunes, everything. And all of a sudden, we saw the top of a tree, a little round to it. And then you got closer, and there was a large palm tree, and it was surrounded by large palm trees, and smaller palm trees, and smaller palm trees. And you get to that place, and there's always a little store there, and some housing, and so on. And you didn't realize you're on an oasis. And what's at the very root of the oasis is a well, there's water beneath it. And that water nourishes living things, and the palm trees drink of the water. And of course, the water can only go so far, so the trees get smaller and smaller at the perimeters. And when you leave, you see this decline. And I think that our holy church and our holy altar is really a well filled with living water. And we must dedicate ourselves. If we don't know what to do, we should know that we should participate in the services of the divine church. And we should pray. And God will reveal to us what we need to do to fulfill His commandments. And to as it were, give forth the greatest blessing of all, which is the love of Christ. Not our love. Our love is important, and it should be united to it. But the love of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ, which dwells in us because of our faith and piety. And if we lead this life, hopefully, at the end, we will be able to, with integrity, raise our eyes up to our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. And He will know exactly who we are, and He will greet us with eternal love and the embrace of salvation. And the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.